this is actually our first in-person episode. I don't think I've ever interviewed somebody in person.
Here we go.
For everybody who's listening, I'm also holding a cup of coffee. It feels very podcasty to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is Bruce. I'm Bruce from Printavo. And then today we are with...
Steve Farrick from Campus Inc.
Cool. So, Steve, just like quick sentence about... You, your shop.
Sure. Been in the industry for 5 years, graduated from the University of Illinois, took over a mom and pop shop, and quickly scaling it across other college campuses in the country. Learning a ton about screen printing embroidery, just fascinated by the industry.
Cool. That was very good.
Yeah.
Sounded like almost pre-written. And then Printavo, we help manage a ton of different shops' workflow, so just keeping them all organized. And I think this is just super exciting to be able to have these conversations, and hopefully we can get other people that, I don't know, either pass through Chicago, or there's actually a lot of shops in Chicago.
Yeah.
It could be cool just to get more people around a couch just hanging out.
Yeah. No, this is cool. We were Printavo customers probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And so it's been really cool to see, one, the industry as a whole, like, growing, but two, like, seeing you and your team and like interacting with like the entire like industry, right?
Yeah,
so like our Facebook groups, like all the forums, like we were just at dinner last night talking about like all of our internet friends we're gonna see next week.
Right.
Yeah.
In Long Beach. Yep.
Super cool.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So for the backstory that folks don't know, we both went to the University of Illinois in Champaign. That's where I was running a small shop there. But after, I think, is when we met through Printavo. And then just ended up meeting. We had lunch at Portillo's, which is like this hamburger hot dog joint in Chicago. And then kept in touch, always bouncing off ideas. And it's nice because they're in Chicago and Champaign. So
yeah, it's been fun.
But yeah, so we've been working on this really, really cool book, Creating a Successful Screen Printing Business. And we are shipping a bunch of copies to Long Beach. So Steve puts a ton of time into that. I put in a bunch of time. And Adam Cook, who was with Printavo before, put in a bunch of time. So really, really excited to put that out. But actually, you know what's funny? Going through this, I almost want to have a name because my mind just goes to brand it, you know? But I feel like setting a name for this sets expectations, and I'd rather not have any expectations in case this is the only one we ever do.
Are you cutting this out?
So... The unknown right now, but you guys just hired your first outside sales rep, right?
Yeah, full-time outside sales.
So what, like, why did you do that? Because you've done the whole student model. You hired them, they drive you sales from different campuses, right?
Right. So, you know, part of our model is to hire college students across, you know, different campuses, and that's working really well. We're having a lot of fun with that. But, you know, what we learned was, you know, our print shop has been established in our community, and our community itself is, you know, is super important to us. As any print shop, right? They're printing for Little League and baseball events and all that stuff. And what we realized was that it was important that there was a dedicated person to just look after, like, the community, the neighborhood, all the local businesses that are in town, and take care of them. You know, from an outside sales standpoint. Until that point, it was pretty much me and my business partners. But when we realized, you know, how important the community was to us, how profitable those jobs are, you know, how relevant corporate sales is, we're just like, we need to get a dedicated person there. So after, you know, me doing it for a couple of years, it was like, it's time to hire. And we finally just brought on someone kind of last week.
How'd you find them?
Actually just like source them through old jobs and old networks. I was in a pretty cool sales program as a college student, so kept in touch with a lot of people there, and you know, it just kind of all happened at the right time. I saw it as an opportunity to take on someone that was willing to take a risk with us, but I was willing to take a risk with them.
Did you text them, or is it
it was just, you know, like I knew in my mind that I wanted to hire someone. And I get a little scared right now just like hiring someone off like Indeed. Mm-hmm. And so I believe like the power of our networks is much better.
And we're never going to get an Indeed sponsorship.
Right. Sorry, Indeed. No podcast sponsorships from Indeed or ZipRecruiter. No, I'm just kidding. So I just like worked my network and just kept in touch with people and kept people on the forefront. And when I saw the right person, you know, I was like, let's just grab coffee and, you know, I had
But like really specifically, like, how did it pop up, or how did she pop up? Or is it a girl, right? Or is
Yeah. So, Charlie's her name. She's awesome. And, you know, she reached out to me for, you know, just to grab coffee and catch up. And
oh, so she just happened to reach out at the same time?
She wanted to reach out because she, you know, wanted some career help.
Oh, okay. Was she a student of yours?
Not a student of mine. Had worked, you know, in some other industries.
Okay.
And so, you know, reached out to me just to catch up and kind of ask for some career advice. And I knew her experience in sales before and had seen her track record and was like, look, like, I don't have a position for this. I really want to make a position for this. You're trying to figure out what you want to do in your career. This could be a good fit for you.
Oh, so it was good timing.
Yeah, it just all happened at the right time. And I just, like, I realized, like, if not now, then when, right? Like,
for sure.
When am I going to have a person that I trust in this position to do something for me that I've always wanted someone to do? And, like, you know, I notice a lot of print shops are really scared to hire their first outside salesperson because they, like, don't know how to pay them.
Yeah.
And I just kind of told her, like, this could go really well.
Wait, so did she drive the position? Or did you have the position and then you hired her and she popped up? You know what I'm saying? Like, which was...
Been thinking about hiring someone.
Okay.
And then while she, like, popped up, I was like, wait a second. Like, she's the person for this
so
role.
So did you have a job description out or anything?
Didn't have a job description
out. Okay, so literally, she pretty much pushed it over...
Yeah, I mean, once, you know, and I had told her, I said, you know, at our first coffee meeting, I was like, you know, let me know. I gave her a bunch of people to reach out to. I was actually giving her career advice.
Right.
And then my light bulb switched and I'm like, wait a second, like, she could be a great fit for us. So I told her, I was like, if things don't work out, like, just hit me up. Let me know what's going on. And within a week, she's like, hey, Steven, I heard, you know, I remember what you were talking about. And, you know, can we talk about a position? So we had a couple meetings and in our meetings, it wasn't as much interviewing as much, like, expectation setting, right? Like, what do you expect of me? What do I expect of you?
Right.
Right. Like, I already knew her sales experience. And sales experience is about, like, grit. Like, you just have to be, you know, willing to get after it, right?
Sure.
And so it was just a matter of, like, what do I expect of this role, knowing that no one's ever filled the role? And, like, how are we going to measure it? And we just, like, we just kind of agreed that we're going to have to trust each other. And is it a financial risk? Yes, because I could train her and it might not work out.
Right.
But at least, like, this is the best way to start from ground zero.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, it's been really good.
Crazy.
It's been pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That kind of similarly happened with us, although we had put out a job description to help on content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened just to run into this person while I was searching for an engineering role.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just wowed me on the phone. And I was like, wow, come in. Let's just get moving. Ended up, he started a week or two after. So
interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's to shops, you know, that are looking to hire the first is the hardest to hire, but, like, don't worry so much about making it perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the first office manager I hired maybe wasn't the best fit, but, like, my second and third one are unbelievable now.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's not that it could be the right person or the wrong process or you're going to make a mistake or lose money. Like, you're learning how to hire. You're learning how to manage
it's
people.
Like an expectation.
Right.
Of, yeah,
right.
Our first few hires did not work out. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's like you said, it's a learning process.
Right.
So did you put them through a training program, the same one that the students went
so
through?
So I kind of created a hybrid, and mm-hmm. I told her, like, I need you to start in about a month because I really wanted to prep.
Right.
And so I gave myself 3 to 4 weeks to just, like, create a lot of content, curriculum, like, how-tos, so that her first week on the job, I was like, today you're going to train here. You're going to learn about reclaiming. Right. Today you're going to learn about flashing.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow you're going to go spend a day in embroidery and cut backing. Right. Like, you have to live.
She was in it. How long did that take? A week?
It was about, like, 3 to 4 days of, like, all right, heat seal 100 names, you know, on the back of jerseys. So, you know,
because she's selling them.
Yeah. So, like, if she's talking about, you know, selling 2-color numbers, like, I want her to understand how painful it is to do 2-color vinyl numbers.
For sure.
Versus, you know, 1-color numbers. Right. And so, if she's selling better jobs that are smarter, like, I have to spend as much time really getting her excited about the industry.
Right.
Right? Like, I get excited about sales because I know what we're capable of. In order for her to sell the product, she really has to believe in it. Right?
That makes sense.
So,
how is she... you know, without going into too much detail, but is it base plus commission? Is it all commission?
Yeah, it's base plus commission. You know, I knew that, you know, livelihood is important, right? Mm-hmm. If I put myself in the role of, like, if I was interviewing for this job, what would I expect from a company? Mm-hmm. And it was too far-fetched to say, like, zero base commission only.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a little uncertain. And it's as much on you as it is on them to make a sale. So I, you know, set her up with a pretty good salary. I pretty much looked at what I did in outside corporate sales personally, mm-hmm. and created a commission structure that did that.
Can you say, like, a rough base number?
I'll put it this way. It's enough for, you know, an entry level salesperson to make a decent salary before commission, you know, just in the sense that, you know, I kind of asked her up front. I said, what are your expenses? What do you need to make for the first couple months before things start to snowball?
So this was a very collaborative process.
Yeah.
Like, even asking them what they want to make.
And, yeah. I mean, I you know.
Right, I'm going to say a number and you say warmer.
No. I mean, you know, I put together the number that I hoped that she would make after year one. Right. And I pretty much said, like,
you just backed out of it.
I'm going to back it out. Hope that there's incentives in place and eventually, like, hope you can hit this. And, you know, I was talking to Kevin Baumgard from Hireology, and, you know, we kind of laughed at the fact that when you're hiring your first salesperson, it's important to tell them up front that this might not work the right way, but we're going to take care of you.
Which gives her ownership too into feeling that I'm building this process, I'm part of it,
right?
Like, and help,
right?
You know,
right.
Suggest back what can,
right,
what
can and work. So, you know, I didn't want her to not make any money while she, you know, and I also didn't want her to sell really bad jobs, right? Because if you just pay commission only, say you pay like 20 or 30, say you pay 40% of gross profit, something wild, they could just start getting you junk jobs that you don't want,
mm-hmm.
right? So I really wanted her invested into customer success as well, and just like creating a name for us in the community on a local level. So, you know, in our weekly meetings, like, part of what she does is she just goes and checks in on customers. Just good in-person check-ins.
She goes to the stuff.
Yeah,
the store,
yeah. I think just, like, powerful, you know, like, it means something if you go and check in on one of your customers.
Like, what do you say? Hey, I was just seeing how things are going. How's business?
Yeah, so, like, I'll just give you an example. Like, we're doing a lot of construction companies, right? They're getting ready for the spring, for mm-hmm. the weather to turn, so they're doing all the safety yellow, all that stuff. And, you know, obviously we're establishing screen printing, but we're really trying to push promotional products, right? That's, like, a great industry, like Sage and ASI and all that. So a lot of what she's incentivized to do is take the screen printing customers that we currently have and also, like, convert them into
the
promotional
business,
products.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I did is I ordered, like, $3,000 of really nice promo products,
mm-hmm.
really nice tumblers, ice scrapers, mouse pads, pens, whatever. And I just said, like, go meet with these customers and just give them this gift. And, like, here's a tumbler.
Oh, smart.
You know?
So you just baggage all together, like a box.
Yeah.
And I've seen that on the Facebook groups. So
yeah. Just care packages, you know.
Oh, printed threads. They
yep.
They send a really cool box.
Printed threads. Actually, Brett, you know, when we went to Texas, like,
yeah.
a lot of the printed threads merch that they had was just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They do
and,
a
like,
good job.
If you're a printing great company job. Or a decorating company, you better have awesome things in your shop with your brand on it.
You're right.
Right? Because yeah. that's super powerful.
To the max. Like,
yeah.
Like, to the max. Which is
yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I spent a little bit of money. And then, you know, you give a bunch of, like, construction company owners really nice tumblers. And they're like, oh, that's super thoughtful. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and that power of in-person sales and just
does
relationships.
Does it have their logo on it?
No, just our logo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just our logo on it. Occasionally, we'll do some pre-printed stuff for some of our bigger customers. Like, we'll laser engrave a tumbler and give it to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, or order a flag with their school colors on it or something. But just, like, going out and, you know, letting someone know that they're there,
right.
super powerful.
And that drove sales?
Already. I mean, within the first couple of weeks, you know, I said, you know, here are, like, my 10 favorite customers. Let's go call on them together.
Mm-hmm.
And within, like, the first week, we've closed, like, 4 or 5 jobs that I wouldn't have gotten had I not pushed it. And, like, the departments and the offices that we're selling to, like, really appreciated it.
Like, good-sized jobs?
Yeah, or? Like, 1,000-piece orders for, like, some bigger stuff, like,
really?
For promo products.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's a learning process, but I kind of told her up front, we're going to learn through this together, And hopefully, like, you beat the system, and I want you to make a ton of money here.
So are you sitting with her? You talked about the first 4 or 5 days she's going through. She's in the shop. She was actually manufacturing the orders. Mm-hmm. Were you sitting with her, calling leads, doing this, explaining things?
Yeah, so the first thing we did was, like, I just focused on, like, customer success. Like, learn how to go talk to our current customers. Mm-hmm. So I picked, like, before the holidays, like, we picked, like, 20 customers, and we went and just delivered them holiday cookies. And I went with her a couple times. I had a couple other people go with her and just say, hey, guys, this is Charlie. She's going to be here. She's, you know, going to be doing this, this, and this, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, that created a warm, fresh batch of leads for her to start with. And then, like, after she worked with them a little bit, then we're starting to work on, like, cold calling. Mm-hmm. Like, truly going in and finding, like, these companies or these companies or these companies. And we work on our pitch. Like, your pitch is everything.
Right.
What you say, how you present yourself.
So, what is she saying to the... So, cold is hard.
Cold is the hardest. Right? Yeah.
What do you guys say? Or what does she go in and...
Well, you know, depending on the type of business that you're going into... You have to go to the most important relevant person as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's figuring out who that person is, right? So if it's a department on the university's campus, maybe it's their marketing department, right? If it's a manufacturing company and maybe they don't have marketing, maybe it's their HR department because they're ordering shirts for their employees.
So, okay, so the lead generating process for cold, is she going on LinkedIn? Is she going on Yelp?
So a lot of what we do is we, like, subscribe to a lot of, like, the Chamber of Commerce and figure mm-hmm. out all the businesses that are in the Chamber, mm-hmm. right? Or in the Rotary Club.
And then say, hey, I'm also in the Chamber.
Yeah, like, we'll use that. But, like, that's how we figure out who our target customers. Like, if there's a business that's willing to pay their membership into the Chamber, like, they want to get their name out there.
Got it.
If they want to get their name out there, they probably need printed merchandise,
mm-hmm.
right? So we kind of use that as our, like, warm-up, right? And then we go to them and we're just like, hey, we're here. We're in town. We're just dropping off a couple things. And if you need anything, let us know. And it's not like we're hard selling on the spot. It's very much just, like, engaging with them and letting them know that you're there so that the next time they need merch, they're just like, oh, why don't we call Steve at Campus Inc.,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's not... Everyone's, like, super scared of cold calling. It's really just going and just, like, dropping things off and just, like, showing them that you're a good person and a good sure. company, you know?
Just that you're there. You're not going to make the sale.
You're not selling copiers or, like, carpet cleaners, you know? You're selling something that they're going to need eventually, and you want to be there so that when they think printed merch, it's the nice person that stopped by our place, not, you know, for imprint.
For sure.
You know?
So now we're never going to get an Indeed sponsorship, a carpet cleaning sponsorship.
Or for Impress, sorry. just
that's
honest.
That's pretty cool. So that helps generate the leads. That's super interesting. And then what do you feel like is something that, I mean, I know it's still early, but if you would have gone back and started over again, is there anything you would have changed or improved upon so far?
You know, I would have probably set, you know, one of my fears, because cold calling and prospecting is probably the most tedious part of the job,
mm-hmm.
right? No one wants to do that as much as they want to be working on deals.
Like a bunch of...
So it would have been like, let's start cold and then warm, maybe, mm-hmm. just so they know, like, they need to, like, go over hurdles before they can run.
Fair.
That being said, we have some really good metrics of, like, how many prospects do we want to try and get this week? How many, you know, cold calls do we want to try and make this week? And it's just a matter of that you measure that consistently. So we just moved over to our CRM close.io
mm-hmm.
and, like, we're in love with it because it's super easy to use and we can track all the opportunities in there.
For sure.
And we use that, you know, like, religiously for the first couple weeks, because after her first 2 weeks, like, she's got more work for the next 3 weeks to do than, like...
That's amazing. You're like, we need another one.
Shoot, no. Nah, it's not like we need another one, but, like, okay, how do you manage that now, right? Now we need samples. Now the customers want this.
So you're just creating the process.
Yeah, and getting it to snowball the right way, right?
So that was the first. Do you feel like in startup, like tech startup land, there's ROI on sales reps essentially. Mm-hmm. So they try to calculate, okay, my cost of acquiring a customer, CAC, is this. The lifetime value is average of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot easier for monthly subscription-based businesses, right. Obviously. But I can scale up by saying, okay, there's clearly a great margin here. It's 3x times the cost to acquire the customer.
Right.
I guess, did you go through that with this, or how do you know that this is a profitable exercise? Or you just know it's just like a low-hanging fruit.
It was a low-hanging fruit. Like, this is in our backyard, mm-hmm. basically. I know, you know, I have my big sales model with the students, and that's, you know, hopefully what's going to really scale the company.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough to hire corporate sales in the printing industry because people are scared of that. They say, all right, like, the person's going to bring me $250,000 in, but I'm going to pay them $60,000, and, you know, we're barely going to make $10,000 on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it to mm-hmm. us. So the way I thought about it was, you know, bringing her in as almost a fixed cost and realizing that she's just going to enhance our entire company as a whole
mm-hmm.
and that it's not just sales oriented. So that's why I do have expectations with her to be in our shop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 15 to 20 hours a week. It's there. It's being, you know, it's not just this cold, you're just hustling jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how it goes. I've already, you know, in her first month of work, it's already paid itself off.
Okay.
I mean, it's already.
But it sounds like you really set them up for success.
Yeah. So, like, the first couple orders, like, I throw a couple softballs. Like, I'm just like, here's your first order.
Right.
You know, it's 1,000 cups from a, you know, beer distributor. And I gave her a couple to start just to know, to give her a taste of it. I think, you know, as I was taught sales, I was taught really cold sales, like where I was knocking on doors in like mm-hmm. snow to sell paint jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught when you're teaching a salesperson, you have to show someone success before you can expect them to be successful. You literally have to
do the
whole process
yeah.
and show them the money and be like, okay, now replicate it.
Sure.
Right? And if you don't, as an owner, show them that and give them their first couple, then they're always like, how do I make a sale? What is it going to feel like? What does it look like? You know, how rewarding is it? Right.
So how does it flow? So you've got Close.io's is your CRM, and you can call out of there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know we use Close.io as well. How are you flowing the leads into Close?
So, there's some leads that are already in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So current customers that are screen printing customers, I've already loaded those in there.
Okay.
Right? We also have inquiries coming in from Jotform, which by using Zapier, go into like Printavo and go into Close.
Okay.
But then if they're brand new leads that are not in our system, she's just adding them in there.
Gotcha.
Right? So she's like, these are the four places I want to meet today. I'm putting them in as leads.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, she can put her notes in if she's visited them or whatnot. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So that flows in Zapier, you set that up and like, it's just rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I mean, I guess I'm interested in this too because it's different than tech startup land as you make a sale and that's cut
mm-hmm.
And you have to go back to get it. But also a lot of people ask about how do I get more sales, and that's what they think of. I need a salesperson in the Facebook groups, and people are asking, okay, I'm hiring first, I'm hiring second, how do I make it work?
Mm-hmm.
And did you calculate any of this stuff in Excel as far as
cost? Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, you know, I realized that in screen printing, it's really hard because we, you know, screen printing, we're actually manufacturing that.
Mm-hmm.
So the overhead there is obviously much higher than promotional products.
Right.
Right. So as I kind of told her, you know, you're going to run the promotional product side of our business because we're starting from ground zero. And as long as we're taking orders in, we're making money. On the screen printing side, her commission is much lower, because that's already an established thing where there's a huge overhead associated to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of said,
so she's not as motivated anyway.
Yeah, and so it's just like, okay, if you get the screen printing orders, good, but we really want you to push this. So I did a little bit of like, you know, some basic calculations to just know if she just does this in promotional products,
mm-hmm.
we'll be fine. And it, as long as she's doing that, we'll continue to get the screen printing orders. So, you know, it's easy when you know your profit margins on promo products because it's just dropship items.
Sure.
Screen printing is definitely a lot harder. And, you know, that's where I give shops advice. It's like if you're hiring a salesperson to sell screen printing, you know, you need to give them – you can't just give away your shop,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why I think promotional product sales is a really easy medium to compensate them.
So how would you do it for screen printing?
You know, where promo products, you can really give them some money because, like, you're not printing it,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you can give them 30%, 20%, 40% of
of the job
or the gross profit. With screen printing, you don't want it to chew out of your overhead too much because you're probably on some tighter margins, right? So a $5 t-shirt, how much can you afford to give them on a $5 t-shirt? 50 cents, right? Maybe like 30 or 40 cents.
So 10%.
Yeah. So, you know, it could be anywhere from 7 to 15%.
Is there a way of did you ever look at the calculations of it? Or is it just, you just look at, okay, after a month.
Yeah, I just kind of looked at what I could afford to do, mm-hmm. right? Like, what wouldn't hurt me? And the one thing that she does have to do is she makes her commission on gross profit. Mm-hmm. So she's vested in making the business money. You know, if she sells jobs that are too low of profit, she's obviously not going to do well. But I can track her average cost of goods sold. And we do that with all of our students, too. You know, we keep a cost of goods sold number. We have our fixed cost of our overhead. And that pretty much gives us our profitability.
Gotcha.
So if the students always hit this target.
How is that tracked?
I pretty much have my own kind of custom built thing now. I was using Google Docs for a really long time. But I have a sales and commission tracker that uses the Printavo API to do that.
That's pretty cool. I remember you showing me some of that earlier. That's super cool. Yeah, I appreciate the insight around that. I feel like, so if somebody, if you had one tip for somebody trying to do this for screen printing, they want to increase sales, they don't know how to set up like base pure commission, what would you say?
I would say start with customer success. So turning your current customers into really great customers.
Okay.
So, you know, you could hire a salesperson, but if you just hired someone in your shop to call and check in with all of your current customers, that right there is the first low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on that, then you can get them to start getting new leads and new sales. But, like, if you're not already just calling your first set of customers that you already have established, that's easier to do, and I would do that first, right? So maybe instead of hiring your first salesperson, it's hire your first customer success person.
Mm-hmm.
And all their job is to get reorders and to call current customers and check in on them.
For sure.
And see if they can increase, you know, their average sale per, you know, per customer per year. So
nice.
That's what I would give. Yep.
Awesome. Well, episode one.
Episode one's done.
Dot, dot, dot. Name to be determined, but
yeah.
Awesome, Steve. Thanks for the time.
Yep.